The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderful Wednesday as I share my testimony live. So, from being Jewish to comic books, from drugs to Jesus, well, I made a decision, and you're going to need to make a decision too. Just remember, that's enough.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Boy, that seems appropriate nowadays. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. Those are not the numbers for the atomic code. Relax. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, like praise reports, prayer requests, and trivia, which we'll get to. Keep it simple. Just remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All I'm going to say is we're going to talk about the testimony that the Lord has built into my life. I cannot possibly, in this 1 hour, give you the fullness of this testimony as it covers 41 years of being a Christian. I'm going to do the best I can. Before we do that, we're not really going to do a reading for all of our ministry partners. So I'm going to ask Wonder Julie just to give us a montage of each one in a row, because that's the funnest way to do it. And I like it when we do the stuff like that. Can you do that?
Here I come to save the day.
Well, we're moving on now.
Go. That's a montage to all of our ministry partners. I'll give you a dollar if you can figure out each one and what it means. Here is the bottom line. I just want to check with Wonder Julie and see if she knows what holiday is going on today. Do you have any idea at all?
I don't.
National Sloppy Joe Day.
Oh,
I like Sloppy Joe.
Where I come from, they're called loose meats.
They're called loose meats?
Yes.
Wow, I have never heard that term before. Loose meats. Yes. I'll have to remember that. Today is also Awkward Moments Day. I'll just tell you a real quick one. When I was substituting for a class in a Christian school, they had everybody gather around the flagpole, and they said, Pastor Dave, do you have anything to say? And I said, nope, nothing to say. And they all looked at me like, what? And I'm like, what? What did I do? What did I say? And they said, Pastor Dave, will you pray? And see, I thought they said, do you have anything to say? And I said, oh, pray. Oh, of course I'll pray. So that was just me losing my hearing at an early age. Couple things to tell you. 1909, on this day, the first ham radio broadcast took place. In 1965, the first person walked in space. And the last thing I want to say is 1992, American businesswoman Leona Helmsley sentenced to 4 years of tax evasion. You know what she said just before she was sentenced?
No.
We don't pay taxes. Only little people pay taxes.
Oh, Leona.
Yeah. Okay. Clink. Bye. Okay. Yeah.
You're off to the Crossbar Motel.
You doing okay? You doing
I'm
good?
Good.
Okay. A lot of stuff going on. I'm going right to my testimony. You don't mind, do you?
Nope. Go.
Okay. Cool. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 60. I'm sorry. Isaiah 63, 7 through 8. Okay. Slow down, people. It's been a long day. Isaiah 63, 7 through 8. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes. The many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and his many kindnesses. He said, surely these are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. Yes. Love it. All right, let me just talk a little bit about my background for those that do not know or have not heard 1,500,000 trillion times. I was born and raised Jewish. For those that are trying to figure out my overall background, I have a Baptist ordination, a Pentecostal ordination, a Charismatic ordination. I have a BA degree in ministry and leadership. I have a master's degree in theological study, and I am in a PhD program. Just so you can know, those are all three different denominations as well. And I'm already in trouble with my professor because I've already written too much material because I write even more than I talk, kind of like a sad sack that way. I grew up in a very unique family. I know my brother is listening to this testimony. He could testify to that. We were a Jewish family in Detroit, Michigan, Southfield, Michigan. Eventually we went to Bloomfield Hills, but we were in Southfield, Michigan. My dad was the kind of guy that bought, you know what he bought? He bought the gold Lincoln Continental that had the white top. So everything we did stood out like a sore thumb. But we were very loyal to our Jewish roots twice a year. We went to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we were diligent to go. Outside of that, we didn't have a whole bunch going on, except for we always had Thanksgiving at our house, and then we had Pesach dinner at our house and different things like that. They did some of the traditions, but it wasn't really for the tradition's sake. It was a reason for the family to get together, and we used it wisely. The other thing that I was deeply into that people did not know or do not know is, for whatever reason, I was into comic books. I thought comic books were cool. They were easy to read. They had a lot of pictures. They were kind of a pre-runner to some fun TV. Unfortunately, what you see in the movies nowadays has nothing to do with the comic books back then. They were just simple, evil, good, which side you on, this is what's going to happen, and simple storylines. They weren't the social issues that they're trying to make them today. It was simply a morality issue of good and evil. I was big time into it, loved comic books, thought they were cool. Last thing I want to tell you in this realm is that I was also into sports, and I was real good. You say, well, how good? I told you yesterday we won the city championship in Southfield, Michigan for Little League. We were really good, and I was good in all the sports, and I liked to play everything. I couldn't play football because most of the practices were on Wednesday and Monday, and I went to private Hebrew school on Monday and Wednesday, and I always regretted that process and always held that against my parents. Here's the last thing you got to know. God is not sitting there going, wow, how am I going to reach these people? What am I going to do? I have no clue what's going on. In our household, where I had an eldest sister, an older brother, and myself, my mom and my dad, and a little dog named Shadow, we also had another member of our family. And the other member of our family, her name was Sarah. Now, back in those days, in the 1960s, Sarah would be called a maid. Now she's called a domestic engineer, but she was a maid. And she, even more so than my mom often, was the one that raised us. Hey, you want to hear something really funny? My entire family, 100% Jewish, Sarah, a born-again Christian. You think that's an accident? Not so much. In fact, I will tell you, I'll just skip ahead to a little bit. I'll tell you that when I saw Sarah at my father's funeral, she told me that she prayed for Lori and Billy and myself every single day that we would get saved. She was in our family for 20 years. She didn't see the fruits of that labor in that entire 20 years. But 5 years later, she saw the fruits of that labor. And two of the three children that she prayed for every single day that they would get to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God answered that woman's prayers. And you think, Well, you might have got saved anyway. Something else could have happened. Look, just follow the bouncing ball. It's not that complex. What happened is that God put somebody in our household that could pray on our behalf, and my brother and I, after a long struggle of drugs and different interactions, became Christians, born again, Bible-believing Christians who were committed and sold out for the kingdom of God. And God had placed somebody in our lives, almost like we had talked about Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple. It wasn't that Sarah was secret about her Christianity. It's just that we were in a Jewish home, and her ability to speak freely would be exceedingly limited. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. Now, I will tell you now that my brother has led worship in front of thousands of people throughout the country and throughout the world, and I've had that chance to minister to thousands upon thousands of people throughout the world, and the bottom line is I take all of that back to a woman who was in her house who was praying for our salvation every day. And how about this? She didn't quit. She didn't give up. She didn't get to see all the signs and all the fruits of everything she wanted to see, but as she laid into that foundation and as she prayed that prayer and as she asked God to save our souls, everything that emerged out of us from ministry will at some point have some credit or connection to her because she never gave up believing on our behalf. So maybe you're listening to this right now and you have somebody that has either been in the kingdom and has kind of walked out in a backsliding capacity, or maybe you have somebody in your life right this second that has never acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord, and you're praying and you think that your prayers are fruitless and nothing's getting through and nothing good is happening. Let me tell you something right now. It doesn't matter if it's 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. You keep praying. You keep praying that the kingdom of God prevails. You keep putting that seed in there and pray and ask for God to reach those people. Why? Because you don't know what will happen. You don't know what will become of that. And so I encourage you right now. Maybe you're a parent and you have a wayward child. I have a few of those. And maybe you have a wayward child that's just not responding. Don't you dare stop praying. Don't you dare stop petitioning the kingdom of God. You go after it with all you've got. You have no idea what the end result of those prayers are. And perhaps you will get the benefit of seeing that person, that child, that part of your life change and turn unto the Lord. But perhaps you won't. But you don't quit pursuing the kingdom of God for the sake of that person and praying that their hearts open up. You never give up. I find it amazing that some of us, even though I'm going to share a testimony about miraculous deliverance in just a second, some of us are like, well, it took me 20 years to get into my problem. God should solve it in 20 seconds. It's like, what are you talking about? Maybe if it took 20 years to get in, the only way you can really get out of it is to take 20 years to get out. I don't know. That's not up to me. That's not up to you. My point is you never quit. You never give up. You keep praying for the people that are around you. Keep praying for their salvation. Keep praying that they will respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ before he returns. That's what you do. Okay? Now, that's not overly complex, is it? No, not. We come back, I'm going to tell you a story that's going to freak you out. Not my problem. It's up to you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You can reach the show by calling 972-445-0770. You better buckle up, because what's coming is not what you're expecting. Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. If you're able to, we'd love you to participate and be a ministry partner or be able to give and help us move the ministry forward so we can stay on the air and keep stuff going. Even in the midst of all the weird stuff that's going on in the planet, it's good to have people on the radio who are proclaiming truth and or trying to encourage other believers and non-believers in the faith so that those non-believers will become Christians and the believers will stand firm. If you can do it, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. We'll do the best we can and move it forward. Ready? Are you ready for the next segment? Ready for the next segment? Ready? Okay. I will give a trivia question because people like trivia questions. Here's a simple one, but it's got a strong follow-up. The walls of which city fell down after the priests blew their trumpets? The walls of which city fell down after the priests blew their trumpet? Yes, there is a famous song that goes along with this. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. So I didn't get too far in, and I didn't want to do this on purpose in the last segment about some of my upbringing. At one point, after I'm trying to acknowledge we had a unique family, and then I got into comic books and sports, and we had a Christian maid, I went down a very dark path, which after this person answers the question, who is calling in under the show, we will go, and I will explain to you what happened. So let's get the answer first. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Brother David. This is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Buddy? I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
Glad to hear about your grandson trying to make a move to get out of that hospital and into a better place, I hope. How's he doing?
He is home and mm-hmm. has been doing. I saw him yesterday on Duo because it was my granddaughter's birthday. So I did get to see him, and I said, "Well, how's he feeling?" And my daughter said, "He's fussy." I said, "Is he sick, fussy?" And she said, "No, he's fussy." And I thought, "That's good. I like that. Yeah, that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing." So yeah, I don't mind if he's fussy. And she has to. It's payback anyway for all the stuff she put me through. So, yeah. So that's why I look
well,
at
it.
All right, my friend. The walls of what city fell down after the priest blew the trumpets?
Well, it'd be that old Jericho.
That is correct. The walls of Jericho. Now, here, I just got this. Is just 1 second food for thought. I think you'll love this. Keep in mind, mm-hmm. Joshua, an intense warrior, fought battles for the kingdom of God, fought for the people of God, and the Lord says, go out there and march around the city. Can you imagine him going, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
you want me to do what?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm supposed to go to war. No, you march around the city and you sing praises, and then I'll show you what's really going to happen.
Amen.
Isn't that
Amen.
A wild thought? That's a wild thought.
God trusts you.
Yeah. It's great stuff. All right, my brother, thank you for calling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good to talk to you.
All right, good to talk to you, too. God bless. Praying for Jerry every day. Good guy. Really good guy. All right, let me tell you what happened. So in my, I was 13 or 14, I descended into the realm of drugs. Now, when people say they descended into the realm of drugs, let me explain to you how this really went. I descended into the realm of drugs. I not only was I smoking pot and smoking hash, I was doing cocaine, I was doing LSD, I was doing angel dust, I was doing pretty much all of it except for shooting up because I still didn't like needles, so I wasn't really into that part of it. Well, here's a passage that will really help you understand this next portion. Psalm 68, verse 20. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escapes from death. So one time, a friend of mine and myself decided, even though we lived in a wealthy neighborhood, you want to know how wealthy our neighborhood is? That was, let me give you an idea, okay? We lived in this wealthy neighborhood, my family, on 1 acre with a tennis court and a pool and an 8,000 square foot home, maybe 7,400 square foot home, with an indoor boat garage attached to the home that I could play tennis against the wall with. And our family was loaded. About 2.5 miles from us was Lee Iacocca. We were loaded. So what do people do when they do drugs? They do dumb things. And my friend and I thought, hey, this one neighbor is out of town. They're in Florida. Let's go rob their house. And that's what we did. We went and robbed their house. How much danger? Not that much danger because they weren't home, right? Except we were high on acid. So not a good thing. So while we were in their house and pillaging through their house, we found this big ice bucket of change. And we took that and we took a couple other items. And guess what else we found? A gun. Loaded. And we took it. And we took that stuff and we went back over to our junior high school and went into the pit area of the high school where everybody got high. And we were talking to one another. And guess what happened when we were on drugs and we just robbed our neighbor's house? All of a sudden, we became philosophers. And we started to talk about, why are we living? What's the reason for living? What's the purpose to life? Remember that passage says the sovereign Lord comes, escapes from death. So we decided life was not worth living. Guess what we had? Money, other items, I think one was a bottle of champagne, and a loaded gun. And we decided, hey, you know what we should do? We should kill ourselves because there's no point in living. Nobody will ever remember us, and it doesn't matter. That's what happens when you open up your mind to drugs. And so we're sitting there, and I'm not going to say who the person was, but I'm sitting there, we're talking to each other, and we decide who's going to go first. Guess who was elected? I was. I was always first into the firing line. This was the problem. And so I said, all right, Well, I'll go first. I took the gun and I pulled the gun. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the gun, it was a Smith & Wesson. And I pulled the trigger back, right, and was put it up to my head and told the person, if there's a next life, I'll see you there. Right? And I got ready to pull the trigger. At that moment, at that millisecond, a car comes up an embankment, almost straight up in the air, but up an embankment, goes up in the air probably about 20, 25 feet, and then lands, and it just boom, 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 lands and starts peeling out. About 2 seconds later, another car comes up the same embankment, straight up in the air, lands, and goes boom, boom, boom. This has my curiosity. This has my friend's curiosity. So the second car is chasing the first car. In the second car, they were the janitors from the school. In the first car, they were people who were doing donuts in the school on a winter day when there was no school. And so we go out there and look to see what's happening. Guess what I have in my hand? A gun. Guess where the gun is? Pressed up against my forehead. And we walk over, and I'm walking towards the car, and the one car is speeding out, and the janitors kind of turn to the side, and they're like, you know, they were pretty happy because they got the people out of there and da-da-da-da. And then we come walking over, and there I am looking at them, and there they are looking at me, and I have a gun pointed to my head, loaded, ready to go. And they go, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to shoot myself. Because there's no reason to live. And I don't have any purpose. And they were shocked. But God is not dumb, is he? So there were three janitors, and one of the janitors said, you know what? You're going to kill yourself, so it's not going to matter. Why don't you give me a few minutes to talk to you? And then after I talk to you, if you decide you want to still kill yourself, you can. But just give me the gun for right now, and let's just walk it through and talk it through. And I thought, okay. So I pulled the gun down, put the trigger back in, and like softly. He took the gun. He walked us inside the school. I'm not going to tell you all the things that we did because some of the things that we did in there were not appropriate. But somehow, this guy and these guys who were not really people of faith knew the best way to de-escalate a situation with a couple of rich boys that were about to wipe themselves out because they couldn't find the philosophy for living. But God had another plan. And even though I was stupid enough to take a gun and put it up to my head and try and end my life or be prepared to end my life, God had something else going on altogether. And those janitors walked us through, and one of them did art. In fact, he did black art posters. He actually did really good work. I actually bought one of them. And the Lord used them to save our lives. Probably more particularly mine. And that was the beginning of me right there knowing, you know what, there's more going on here than I think. And they shared, and they talked to us, and they walked us through and waited until our buzz burned. And they, in fact, did give us back the gun, took the bullets out, and tried to share with us that there was more to live for. Now, they didn't know everything to say, but God used them to intervene to stop me from taking my life. You think that matters? I don't know. You think that matters to the thousands of people I've had a chance to minister to? Probably. Here's what I know. When we come back, it gets even weirder. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Sometimes all.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We encourage you to give a call, 972-445-0770. Our website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. David@HeMustIncrease.org is the email. He Must Increase Ministry on Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry on YouTube. Just got done sharing a little bit of my background, a little bit of my upbringing. Now we're going to talk about the moment that Christianity came to this American Jewish boy's life. Just to speed up the process, because I can tell this story for hours and hours. My mom and dad ultimately got a divorce. This is after this incident that took place at the school where I almost killed myself. They got a divorce, and I went with my mom, and we went to Phoenix, Arizona. And then my mom bought a house on Mummy Mountain across the street from Tom Weisskopf. My dad bought a house on Camelback Mountain. That ought to give you an idea of the wealth of the family. My brother came out to Phoenix and worked with a company called Phoenix Pest Control. And I was, in Arizona and was living in a really nice area, not far from the Camelback Inn, for those that know Phoenix at all, and was dealing drugs and doing my thing, and nothing seemed to be all that different. Knock, knock, knock on my phone, so to speak. It's my brother. My brother's name is Billy. Billy is one of my best friends. He's a great brother. He's also a jerk. Why? Because he knocks on my phone, and he knocks, 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 and he's like, "Dave, I got to tell you this story." I go, "Okay, what's the story about?" "I got to tell you this story about Jesus." I'm like, "What are you, an idiot? You going to tell me a story about Jesus?" He's like, "No, really, I got to tell you, I got to tell you." I'm like, "Leave me alone." Click. The next day he calls. Ring, ring, ring. "Dave, what?" "I want to tell you about Jesus. Congratulations, Billy. I think it's great. Goodbye. Calls me the next day. Ring, ring, ring. What? I want to tell you about Jesus. I haven't been smoking pot or doing drugs. I said, well, that is a miracle. I do recognize how much of a miracle that is, but I'm not interested in, you know, the best to you. Ring, ring, ring. The next day, Dave, I got to tell you about Jesus. You know, at some point when you're going through this process, that can be irritating. When you're brothers, you get a little more space, right? If this was just somebody that I knew at a distance, I'd been like, don't ever call me again, blah, blah, blah. We had a couple of choice words. I spoke in tongues to him, but not the official tongues, the third language tongues. And I told him what I thought of it and hung up. Ring, 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 next day. What up, Billy? Got to tell you about Jesus, Dave. And I was just thinking, this is either a new drug, and he's so on it, he can't get off it, or there's something going on. One time he knock, 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 rings the phone, pick up the phone. He goes, listen, he goes, let me ask you a question. Didn't you used to like comic books? I said, yes. He said, okay. He said, so in the comic books, is there somebody that's really big, like more powerful than everybody? Oh, that'd be the Watcher. The Watcher watches over the universe. He goes, okay, was there somebody really bad? And be like, well, that'd be like Galactus. Galactus used to consume universes. Remember, this is the old time stuff, not the new time stuff. He used to consume universes for energy. Did they ever fight? Yeah, they fought, and the Fantastic Four was used in the middle to save humanity. And he goes, perfect. He goes, the Watcher is God, Galactus is Satan, and the Fantastic Four are Jesus. And I went, ding! Say what? I'd always believed the comics were real, that there's something bigger and greater always going on. And he used the analogy of comics. You think, well, you can't tell the gospel that way. Tell it to Jesus. Worked out perfect for me. In 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, and Baal is God, follow him. And I made a decision at that moment by the power of the Holy Spirit through the grace of God, received by faith in Jesus Christ, that I was going to say yes. And don't kid yourself. I was Jewish. I thought, well, you know, if I'm wrong about the Christian stuff, I'm still Jewish. I'm two really good odds I'm getting in right there. Christian, Jewish, doing pretty good, covering myself. But he kept witnessing and he didn't quit and he went at it and he was annoying and he was terrible and he was a terrible witness. I know he's listening to me right now. You were terrible. But the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing. And it was the only way to get through to me. And it worked. And it wasn't that the sky opened up. It wasn't anything amazing at all. And I'm just going to get into this other part of the story, which people are going to really dislike. And it's too bad. I don't care. It's my testimony. I'm not going to change it for you. Here's the bottom line. I went over to his house, met the person that had led him to the Lord. They prayed over me. I said the sinner's prayer. They gave me a Bible. I left and I got high. That's what happened. You're thinking, well, you weren't saved. Baloney. I believed. I just didn't know where that was going. And I kept getting high, and I kept getting high. But I would always read my Good News Bible. Why? Because it has stick figures in it like cartoons, like a comic book. Get it? And I would get high, but then I would read Galatians, or I would read Romans, and I was drawn into it. And I remember going through this war with God. I'll share about the major stuff that happened in the next segment, but going through this war with God, and I prayed one time, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't pray very much. I try to read your word. I don't really get what's going on here, but I just want to know if I'm going to make it. I mean, is this all just baloney, and I've just lost my mind? Am I going to make it? That's all I want to know. I even labeled this high and in the word. You think you can't do that? Baloney. God does what he wants. You can tell God it didn't work. Work for me. And you might be thinking, well, that's not right. Well, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. And God was saving me, and that's what was counting. I said, am I going to make it? I don't know if I'm going to make it. Am I going to make it? Because I'm real young on. I'm talking first 5 months of my Christianity, 4 months. And I had a dream. It was the first time I had a dream from God. And I was in a throne room. And I can tell you every nuance about it, blow your mind. And I'm standing up next to a king. Now, this is before I know any of the theologies, before I know any of the realities. The king, he has a hat on. He's a king. And he's got his armor on my shoulder. And there's this screen. And it's a screen that's probably about 6 feet wide. And in the middle, four feet of that 6 feet screen in the middle are, it's kind of like a review of the events in my life. And we're going through different things in my life. And I'm telling you, he's going back to childhood. It's going up to adulthood, past where I've ever been. And he goes, well, this is the, here where you did this, and here's where you did this. And I'm not kidding. This really happened. And he said, and here's where you did this, and this wasn't good. I remember that, like, uh-oh. That the next thing he said is, but here is where you accepted my son, and that's why you're here. That was it. Like at that point, it was like, I don't care. I understand. See, this is the problem I have. I understand the Baptists. I understand the Pentecostals. I understand the masteries of theology. I get it. I had that dream. I woke up. That dream was so vivid. It was dripping on me. It changed my life. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't care what the terms are you use. I took it in by faith and acknowledged God's testimony. And then that moment, I was saved. That's how it works. And you think, well, that's not my theology. Tough. I can show you 1,000 scriptures that can prove it's right. What happened was that God, in the dream, told me why I was going to make it. Because I acknowledge John chapter 1, verse 12. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, accepted, acknowledged, gave glory to, recognized the testimony for. And he saved me. He didn't save me because I was good. Pretty evident that that is not the case. He didn't save me because I was bright. He didn't save me because I can speak. He didn't save me because I was arrogant. He saved me because he was full of compassion and love and mercy, and he gave me his message, and my heart said, yes. The most important thing to me I can tell you is, you know, why am I a Christian? It's simple, because I need to be loved at every possible level that there is. I need to be loved in every possible way that I can be loved. And the only place and the only person that I can get that through is God, through Jesus Christ. I said, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I thought, I'm going to make it. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do. I had a lot of doubt about how God was going to do it. I still have a lot of doubt as to how God's going to do it. Doesn't change anything. And yet, here I am, 41 and a half years later, on a radio show, nobody in the room, the country's freaking out, and I'm telling you about the love that Jesus poured into my heart that got me saved. That's a pretty strong statement from God. It didn't end there, because when we get into this next segment, I'm going to tell you the one thing that happened for me that was more dramatic than happens to most people, which is I have a lot of these dramatic things, and it's like, that's why I want to be rooted in the Word, grounded in the Word, because I want to be able to identify where this comes from. But to be Spirit-led and Bible-grounded should be everybody's goal. And to walk hand-in-hand with God, not just now, but for all eternity, should be all that we aspire for. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do encourage you to go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. If you want to hear any audio, see any videos, any updates on all the stuff that we're doing, it's all pretty much right there on the website. It's very simple. We've been talking about my testimony. I'm kind of going through. I can only tell you that this is the most abridged version I can possibly come up with, because there's no other way to explain what's going on to you of all these things that took place over a 40-year period of time. So I had mentioned to you that the Lord had shown me, had given me a dream, a dramatic dream that really showed me I was going to make it. And I thought, okay, after that dream that the Lord showed I was going to make it, and I was pretty good about that, everything was going fine, but I was still checking out Christian television, still reading my Good News Bible with the little figures in there. One evening, I was in my room, in my house, in Paradise Valley, on Mummy Mountain, and I was pin-smoking some Lebanese blonde hash. For anybody who knows anything about drugs at all, pin smoking is when you take a pin and you pin it into the piece of hash. You put the pin in such a way so that it doesn't move. Then you take a glass, you light the little hash on fire, you put the glass over it. When it goes out, all the smoke goes into the glass. Then you tilt the glass and you suck it in, and that's how you pin smoke hash. And so I was doing that and doing my thing, and I thought everything was fine.
I thought everything was fine. That should tell you right there, right?
And for the first time ever, not in a dream, not in any other way, keep in mind I'm reading my Good News Bible, keep in mind I'm checking out fellowships, keep in mind I'm pursuing and trying to get interested and trying to get connected to Christian stuff. For the first time ever, God speaks to me. And I had done enough drugs to know what a hallucination was or wasn't. People go, "Well, you don't know when you're hallucinating." Ridiculous. Of course you do. You can even tell when you're entering into it. That's how stupid people are when they talk about stuff like that. Bottom line, God spoke to me. And he said two words. Boy, I'll tell you, he doesn't have to waste time, does he? For those that are looking for a scriptural reference, you would have to use the Common English Bible in Psalm 46:10, but these are the only two words the Lord spoke to me. That's enough. Been smoking the hash, and I hear, that's enough. And I'm looking around the room, and I'm like, that's enough. That's enough. And I knew instantly God had spoken. And he said, that's enough. And I was like, uh-oh. The party hardy guy is about to come down. So I know it was God. I didn't know exactly all the things I should do, but I had enough common sense in me. So I took my hash, my coke, my acid, my pot, and I flushed it down the toilet. I took my pipes and I broke them and I threw them in the trash can. I remember the trash can, opening the lid and throwing them in. I got down in my room, closed the door, got down on my knees, and I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I love getting high. It's awesome. But you don't like it. And you don't want me doing it. And the only way I'm ever going to stop is if you help me. So help me, or I won't be helped. That's what I prayed. And you think, well, lights came flashing on and all this stuff happened. Nope. Nope. I just decided right then and there I'm going to bag it and go to bed. Done. Went to bed. Woke up. It was over. So I had gotten high 18 to 20 times a day for 5 years with every possible thing. I used to have Sinsamine sitting in my bong with laced with coke on top with a little extra THC. Anybody who's done drugs knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's how I used to wake up. I'd wake up, do my first bong hit before I even got out of bed. All of that. And it only took God to say, that's enough. And that was it. I mean, I prayed the most honest, earnest prayer. I will tell you today, being 41 plus years a Christian, I think maybe one other time I've prayed to that level of human honesty to God. Every time I think of that's enough, every time I think of that experience, I think, it was just an, I label it, even on my piece of it, I label it an honest prayer. It was just honest. I wasn't playing around. I mean, I don't have time to tell you in this share, in this moment, what happened shortly thereafter. Sufficient to say that we were so on fire in the kingdom of God, so on fire that we would witness, I mean, to prostitutes down Van Buren when Van Buren was Van Buren in Phoenix. We would reject family money in order to just do kingdom work. My brother and I actually shook the dust off of our feet after leaving my mom's house one time after she was sick and tired of us talking about Christ and the gospel. And then my dad was so mad. We were at a fancy restaurant talking about Christianity, and he's like, can we ever have a meal without talking about Jesus? You know, those were the $300 a meal plates. It's like, nope, can't do it. I don't have time to go down that road. My brother's probably laughing right now because he knows all about that. That doesn't matter. Here's what matters. That honest prayer was the difference. That moment that I was just honest with God. I mean, it's amazing. My first sermon was, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It's God's power. No person saves you. God does it. Nobody else. Everybody can take as much credit as they want. Billy Graham, greatest preacher I have ever seen, never saved a single person. Only Jesus saves. But in that moment of honesty, God responded to me. And there are some of you out there that go through this, and you go through cycles. And I'm not trying to tell you how to do it. I to some degree, this sounds rude. To some degree, I don't even care. But I will tell you this. Be honest
when you come before the Lord. Don't play the game. Don't try and make it a charade. Don't think you're hiding it in the back of your mind. Well, Lord, I want to do this. And then in your back pocket, you're like, no, I don't. He knows. Just come and be honest and tell him exactly where you're at. Tell him exactly what's going on. You know, it doesn't take much for you, not just to be a Christian, but it doesn't take much for you to rededicate yourself as a Christian. You already know everybody's sins. You already know the wages of sin is death. You already know the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know this. You know that you confess with your mouth and then you believe in your heart. Jesus, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart. That God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You get that. You get that everybody calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You get that. But there's some of you that have done this walk, that have gone through this process, and you know what you need? You just need a reboot. You need a, I am messed up. That's why one of my premises in my PhD is that I believe evangelists are not just for the unsaved, but for the saved, because the gospel saves you and keeps you. And some of you are so messed, and you just got to come before the Lord and say, look, I need help. You don't have to make a big production of it. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to do anything. Go into a prayer closet. Go into a private room. Take a bath. Do whatever. It doesn't matter. Just do it before the Lord and be honest about it. Let it be real. And let the Lord respond to you. Because what's amazing is how much he really does love us. And how often he enables us to start again. Do you know how many restarts you've probably had as a Christian? Probably 10,000 that you couldn't even pinpoint. Well, for some of you, you need a big one. You need a real reboot. Okay? Like, cut the game. Cut the garbage. Cut it. Just stop. Go spend time with God. Go ask him. Come to him. Say, Father, I acknowledge your testimony in regards to Jesus Christ. I receive that. I acknowledge that. I receive it by faith. Thank you for giving it by grace, unmerited favor. And now I need your help. And then fill in the blank. Because I don't know what that blank is for you. You do. And God does too. And I'm telling you, from an experience of 41 and a half years later, God will help you. And after all, in our lives right now, that's what we need, is the help of God. We need God's help. Can you say amen? All right,
folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.